stations. Just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Justice Department releasing details about a separate plot they say to kill former President Trump. Here's ABC's Andy Field.
The government arresting a Pakistani national with claimed ties to Iran on charges he plotted to kill former President Trump. Court documents claim Asif Merchant flew from Pakistan to the U.S. to hire killers. Government caught him because one of the people he contacted was an FBI informant. Investigators say they found no connection between this plot and the man who tried to kill Donald Trump in Pennsylvania last month.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz tapped by Kamala Harris to be her running mate. The veteran, former teacher, coach, and congressman is known for his progressive policies in his state. He's in Philadelphia now to join Harris to kick off their campaign today. Tropical storm Debbie still posing a threat to the southeast with flood alerts stretching from Florida to Virginia. That slow-moving storm making it hard for crews to restore power in the areas. This is ABC News. A few years after mask mandates, face coverings are banned in a New York City suburb.
Face masks worn in public to hide one's identity are now banned in Nassau County on New York's Long Island. The county's Republican-controlled legislature introduced and passed the bill, saying it was in response to anti-Semitic incidents carried out by people wearing masks. The New York Civil Liberties Union says it's a free speech infringement. There are exceptions for health and religious reasons. Penalties include up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. Brian Clark, ABC News, New York.
In June, New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she's considering a ban on face masks on New York City's subways. Nissan is developing a paint for cars to keep drivers and passengers cooler. The Japanese automaker making that announcement as Japan is facing record high temperatures. Nissan officials say the cool paint lowered cars' roof panel temperatures by about 22 degrees. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
The smarter way to clean your floors, it's time to make the swap. Swift for Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Another inmate death at Waupun Correctional Institution.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt said his office was contacted about the inmate's death at around 7:25 Monday morning. An initial investigation revealed a likely suicide. Schmidt said prison staff responded rapidly and appropriately, attempting to save the inmate's life. This is the fifth inmate death at Waupun since June of 2023. Nine people, including former warden Randy Randall Hepp were arrested earlier this year. They face felony charges stemming from some of those deaths. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
New outreach grant program is coming for lead line replacement projects in Wisconsin.
Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources say the program will provide municipalities with funding to conduct community outreach efforts in support of ongoing or upcoming lead service line replacement projects. According to a 2023 report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, more than 37,000 such lines have been replaced or disconnected since 2018, more in the last 5 years than the previous two decades. The Lead Service Line Replacement Community Outreach Grant will begin accepting applications August 29th. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Nearly 150 people are out of work as a wood products company closes some locations last week.
WXPR in Rhinelander reports Bessie Forest Products Group closed three locations August 2nd with 1 day warning to employees or the state. The owners of the company, Hoffman Family of Products, told the Department of Workforce Development that a downturn in the industry forced the closure. The closures affected the mills in Goodman, Rice Lake, and Mattoon. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A bright, beautiful, blue sky day today with mostly sunny skies and highs smack dab into those mid-70s. Winds a bit breezy, though, out of the northeast, gusting up to 20 miles per hour at times. We stay clear and we drop crisp tonight to the upper 40s. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Sitting in for the vacationing Jesse Allen, who will be back with you tomorrow. Glad you joined us today. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to be talking to the American Soybean Association. We'll be talking Farm Bill and biofuels. We'll get a Washington update, including the Farm Bill. Senator Chuck Grassley, lots to talk about with the senator. And we'll be talking markets with Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk. That's all coming up on today's program. But we're going to start it off, speaking of biofuels, we are going to talk biofuels with our first guest today, CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America, Donnell Rehagen. Donnell, how are you? Good to talk with you again.
Well, Mike, I'm doing great and good to be on. Thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed in retirement is when I come back and fill in once in a while, how many issues that I was talking about with people like you before I retired are still issues that you're discussing and working on still today, and one of those being the renewable fuel standard and the deadlines that EPA is supposed to meet in establishing guidelines each year. And I was thinking about this. Every administration since we've had the RFS seems to have played fast and loose with these deadlines, and they've treated deadlines like they're recommendations and that they don't have to be kept, and a lot of times they aren't met. And I know this is especially frustrating for your industry as you try to have some certainty, to help your industry plan moving forward. And I think you've about had enough of this, haven't you? You're trying to get something done on this.
Well, Mike, you are exactly right. You know, I feel like this is Groundhog Day. You and I have talked about this a number of times over the years. You know, the RFS is the foundational policy for our industry. And so when it's out of sync or off the deadline, it creates challenges for our industry. And we're certainly an industry that doesn't need more challenges. And so, yeah, if the EPA would simply meet the deadline for setting those RVOs, that would certainly give our industry a lot clearer picture of what next year and the following year and the years after that look like. But it seems that the EPA is not going to do that. They've already come out and said, the administration, that they will not meet this November 1st deadline this year to set our RVOs for 2026. And so we are taking them up on that, and we're going to intend to sue them over that issue to try to drive that to a better result.
And where does that stand right now?
Well, we filed our intent to sue, so we basically have to give them a heads up that we're planning to do that. And so we have filed that document, and so the EPA is aware. We'll, of course, have to wait till they do miss that deadline, and then we will follow that up with a lawsuit to bring that to a conversation. The bottom line is the government's pretty much going to do what the government's going to do, but they do have this deadline, and they have it for a reason. It was a negotiated deadline when the law was passed a dozen years ago, and so they've just been missing it, and for us, that does create a huge challenge of knowing what's coming ahead that we can plan for, and that's the whole role for that early deadline for our RVOs.
I guess one thing that has changed over the years, they used to just not say anything and the deadline would come and go. Now they just tell you in advance they're not going to make it.
Yeah, that is that was interesting. I don't know that I've seen that before, but and I'm not exactly sure what the reasoning and rationale is. There was a number of administrative things that the administration weighed in on, and this was one of those, and so we have taken note. And so we're not the only industry impacted by this. Ethanol, the ethanol industry is impacted by it as well, and we continue to work together to fight this this obstruction that we find in all of the administrations, quite frankly, and certainly with the EPA, you know, in missing these deadlines and not doing the due diligence, the hard work to really get those numbers right for us in the first place.
Yeah, I'm going to say especially irritating for you, your industry, is because you felt they've set the numbers too low when they do set them, and then on top of that, then you have to wait to get numbers that you're not real happy with to begin with.
Yeah, and as you remember, you know, a couple of years ago was the first time the EPA was allowed to set the RVOs for multiple years. Prior to that, it was done 1 year at a time. And so our concern then was, you know, if they get it wrong, we're stuck with wrong for 3 years. We had our own arguments with them over the years about whether they were right or wrong when they set them for a year. So, yes, we do know now the industry is showing how wrong the EPA was in setting those volumes as low as they did. And we've been dealing with the fallout of that ever since. And so we want to make sure this next go around, they get it done on time. That's what we'd like to have them do, and that they get it right. And so that's what we will be working with them over the next several months and probably up to a year.
It's just extremely frustrating, but that's what you usually get when working with the government. We're talking with Donnell Rehagen, CEO of the Clean Fuels Alliance America. All right, let's talk about an area that has great promise, and that is the aviation fuel, sustainable aviation fuel. Where you stand with that, and as far as meeting criteria and getting tax credits and things like that, bring us up to date.
Yeah, there's a lot of work going on, obviously a lot of interest in sustainable aviation fuel. It is absolutely the most difficult industry to try to decarbonize. And so the liquid fuels are going to be a necessary, have a necessary role in that, and that's where we come in. So our fuels, our feedstocks that we use, soybean oil, animal fats, used cooking oil, those can all be turned into either biodiesel, renewable diesel, or sustainable aviation fuel. So our industry will play a big role in this initial early build out of sustainable aviation fuel in the United States. And so that is just really getting underway. The tax credit that for that industry, for sustainable aviation fuel industry, is just kind of on the books. And so we're just very much in the early stages, but it holds a huge amount of potential. It's about 25 billion gallons a year of jet fuel used in the United States. And so for an industry like ours, it's a great, great opportunity, and a great, great opportunity for agriculture as well.
Are you at all concerned with the requirements they're setting or trying to set for what producers of the feedstock, the standards they have to meet?
Well, the climate smart agriculture practices that were required or being proposed to be required as part of the tax credit come January 1st, and the tax credit for SAF that went into effect 2 years ago, are a little bit dysfunctional as far as how U.S. agriculture actually works. And so I think the USDA acknowledges that, and they're in the middle of a process of gathering information from industries like ours on what they could do to try to help make the next version of that tax credit better. And again, that's a tax credit that will go into effect January 1st, commonly referred to as 45Z. And so we are participating, as well as a number of other commodity groups and agriculture groups, to give the USDA, I should say, the information they need to make that implementation of 45Z better. And that is one of one of the issues that we've taken up with them is the Climate Smart Agriculture participation requirements.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that in our next segment with the American Soybean Association. It's like they set this out there, and it is so promising, so much potential for your industry, but sometimes it feels like they want to place a lot of hurdles for you to get over and get through to be able to get to it. Sometimes I wonder if they expect you to or they don't want you to, but I know you got to keep going after it because it does hold such great potential.
It does hold great potential, and we also acknowledge the fact there's a lot of interested parties, you know, when you get into renewable fuels, and everybody's got to have a spot at the table, and so that's where these conversations are really important for us to be represented.
All right, Donnell, keep up the good work. Good to talk with you. Thank you, sir.
Mike, good talking to you. Thank you. Take care.
Donnell Rehagen, CEO, Clean Fuels Alliance America. More on that topic and Farm Bill and more with the American Soybean Association next on AOA.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream, I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. This is Mike Adams sitting in for Jesse Allen, who will be back with you tomorrow. All right, kind of continuing somewhat on the theme we just talked about with Donnell Rehagen with the Clean Fuels Alliance America. We're joined now by Christy Seifert, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the American Soybean Association. Christy, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much, Mike.
Well, let's talk about one of the things we talked about with Donnell, and that is on the issue of biofuel tax credits. And I know that's one of the things that is a priority for the American Soybean Association right now.
It absolutely is. You know, markets that impact biofuels and soy use are something we're always watching and weighing in on. You know, we are right now watching closely and engaging on the 45Z clean fuel production credit implementation that is expected this winter, sometime this fall, winter time. We are engaging with Treasury. We are working with members of Congress and the House and the Senate to help prioritize the use of domestic feedstocks in terms of receiving the benefit of this tax credit. We also want to make sure that we're protecting the integrity of imports. And I'll share with you a figure that really is just very interesting. In 2021, used cooking oil imports totaled about 300 million pounds. In 2023, that figure was over 3 billion pounds. That is more than the entire soy production value in North Dakota. That's a lot. It's a tremendous increase in soy or in used cooking oil imports. And so we want to make sure that we are ensuring protect the integrity of imports. We've also been working to improve carbon intensity scores, whether it is Treasury, whether it is the California Air Resources Board activity regarding the low carbon fuel standard there. There are just a lot of different moving parts with respect to biofuels policy, and we also want to just make sure this 45Z tax credit is implemented in a farmer-friendly way, because goodness gracious, it has to make sense for farm country if we're going to help encourage clean fuel, clean energy policies that are successful.
While I am hopeful, I must admit, after covering the biofuels industry closely for many years and seeing how the government has dealt with the biofuels industry, I'm skeptical until it happens, because moving deadlines and changing requirements and things like this seems to be right out of the playbook of the government when it comes to biofuel policy. So I think when you say you're trying to hold them to this, I think that's the key, because what we've seen in the past, it can be a moving target so often.
It absolutely can. And then another area too, you know, we are always working collaboratively with others to try and have a better RFS, renewable volume obligation. And so we were disappointed to see that the time frame for that announcement got bumped back. We want to see a timely and improved RVO that impacts soy markets, soy farmers as well. So challenges on many fronts that we are engaging in to try and improve the outcome for soybean farmers.
Yeah, and I find it especially frustrating, and I know many in your industry do as well. It seems like the government will try to do everything they can possibly can if they're totally behind something like, say, EVs, and try to, you know, clear the runway for them and push them forward, but at the same time putting up hurdles, it seems like oftentimes, for an established industry that we have right now, the biofuels industry, which it can help them achieve the goals they say they're after.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you know, the challenge that we are experiencing, I think, in the biofuel space is only one of those challenges impacting soy markets. Another area that we're concerned about and engaging in and have been all year is China trade. We send 60% of soybean exports to China, and that is a huge market for us and certainly can be quite impactful. Our ASA president, Josh Gackle, testified before the House Agriculture Committee this spring to talk about the importance of China as a market, and his aim, of course, was to help educate folks that, boy, despite these geopolitical challenges and, of course, the national security interests that folks have, we really need to make sure that we are not just protecting the national security interests, but also maintaining and protecting our economic and trade interests. We need predictability and certainty, not only in the biofuel space that we just talked about, but also with respect to China trade. We want to make sure that we maintain access to critical markets like China.
We're talking with Christy Seifert, ASA Executive Director for Government Affairs. That can be a fine line sometimes, a touchy issue, Christy. You want to maintain trade with a country that obviously we don't see eye to eye with on a lot of issues, politically and national security-wise. Trying to take care of both at the same time, that is a challenge.
It is. It is a challenge, but it's critically important for us that we maintain China as a viable and robust market for U.S. soybeans. At the same time, we are continuing to expand and diversify trade opportunities for soy, but also other ag products globally. That's why we think it is so important to ensure that we continue to invest in trade promotion resources in the Farm Bill, get a good Farm Bill with a strong farm safety net across the finish line here in 2024. We want to just make sure that we are supporting all efforts and reminding Congress that we've got to have a better Farm Bill, a new and improved Farm Bill in 2024, because we've got to have these trade promotion resources. We've got to have a better farm safety net. There are also opportunities elsewhere in the Farm Bill to improve markets for soy. So I think with respect to biofuels, China, Farm Bill, we've been messaging on these top three soybean priorities this summer, but of course, longer term, we had our farmers just a few weeks ago to talk about these three issues and the importance of getting a new and improved Farm Bill across the finish line this year.
Yeah, and there doesn't seem to be much movement on that at this time. And the calendar, when you look at the congressional calendar, and you have a presidential election in there, it doesn't seem real likely it's going to get done this year. Maybe in a lame duck. What are you hearing? How do you feel about it getting done this year?
We were pleasantly surprised to have meetings on Capitol Hill recently with the four committee leaders' offices, and we heard some cautious optimism, I think, about the potential for a new and improved Farm Bill to be addressed in the lame duck session of Congress. So post-election time period, no doubt, plenty of headwinds, right? But I think that there's an understanding, a recognition that there are a lot of needs. All of the hearings that led up to the Farm Bill development this spring, the hearings throughout the last couple of years, I think there are plenty of challenges shown. And with respect to soy and farm country more broadly, you know, we're experiencing a roller coaster right now. We're experiencing, unfortunately, the downturn part of a roller coaster right now as it relates to crop prices. And I'll tell you, I don't like downturn on a roller coaster, and I know a lot of farmers don't either. They're already struggling with the high input costs. You know, we look at just the life of the current Farm Bill and the challenges, the powerful headwinds that farmers face. You know, I think about the China trade war, and at the height of the China trade war, unfortunately, soybean farmers experienced an unresponsive farm safety net, and that is the same farm safety net that exists today. So soybean farmers have been messaging loud and clearly on the Hill, but also here in this recess period, even through social media, the next generation of farmers are sharing how important it is to have and receive meaningful improvements to make the farm safety net more responsive, more effective, more accessible. So no doubt challenges exist to getting to that point, but boy, with all the challenges, the headwinds that farmers have right now, and then thinking about these other policies with respect to China trade or biofuels or even crop protection products, there's just a lot that can impact farmers, and we've got to have a better Farm Bill.
We'll see what happens. Lame duck sessions are always tough to predict because you're coming off the emotions of what happened in the election. So we'll see what happens. Christy, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Christy Seifert, American Soybean Association Executive Director of Government Affairs. All right, coming up next, we'll get a Washington update from Senator Chuck Grassley here on AOA.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
You're listening to AOA. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at market information. Well, the grain and oilseed markets show wheat prices supporting corn, while soybeans saw double-digit losses. Recent price strength resulted in heavy farmer selling of old crop corn and soybeans, that to make room for what's anticipated to be a big crop this year. For corn, ethanol margins should remain mostly sideways, with unleaded values remaining soft, limiting blender enthusiasm. Basis action will likely soften a bit this week as we head toward harvest. For soybeans, weekly crop progress showed another good to excellent rating, 1% better at 68%. That good to excellent and 8% in the poor to very poor. Basis has turned more mixed short-term for soybeans. According to some cash sources, China purchased another 37 cargoes of soybeans last week, with roughly two-thirds of them from Brazil. We've seen the competitive edge swing back and forth between Brazil and the United States lately. China is buying more U.S. soybeans when we get the edge, but they're far more aggressive in buying Brazilian soybeans when they have the pricing edge. For wheat, spring wheat harvest should continue to expand in the Northern Hemisphere, with some quality issues showing up. Delays are lingering because of weather as well. Weekly crop progress showed winter wheat 88% complete for the harvest versus 86% on average. Spring wheat is 97% headed versus 99% on the five-year average. 6% of that spring wheat is harvested versus the 10% average. More in a minute on the American Ag Network.
Hi, this is Rick Swenson, lead agronomist with Peterson Farm Seed. We pride ourselves on being an agronomy-first company, helping you raise more bushels and maximize returns on every acre. This summer, we're bringing our agronomic insights on the road to a field near you. Join us for our series of Field Insights Days in Aberdeen, South Dakota, Belgrade and Chicago, Minnesota, and our headquarters in Prosper, North Dakota. We can't wait to show you solutions to the issues you're seeing in your fields. Although our field day may be changing, our mission is not. We want to see all farmers succeed at raising more bushels. Practical agronomic knowledge and practices are what can take high-quality seeds performance to the next level. At Peterson Farm Seed, we'll sell no seed we wouldn't be happy to plant on our own farm. And we'll make no agronomy recommendation we wouldn't implement ourselves. Visit PetersonFarmSeed.com today for more information and to view our upcoming Field Insights Days.
Cash markets show corn at 381, up slightly. Soybeans at 1014, also up. Soft red winter wheat at 482, up slightly. I'm Jody Heemstra.
This is Mike Adams sitting in for the vacationing Jesse Allen, who will be back with you tomorrow. I'm happy to have our next guest. I always look forward to our conversations with him when I was doing AOA. Even before that, many years we've been talking. That is Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Always appreciate his views and updates from our nation's capital. Senator, good to talk with you again.
Yeah, very definitely. Glad to be with you. Always important to talk about agriculture when you're in Iowa, and how agriculture is going to be really highlighted the next 10 days because of the state fair.
That's right, state fair time. I want to talk Farm Bill in just a moment, but I wanted to say something as I've watched the news recently, as so many of us have, after the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Your office helped uncover a lot of important information that is part of this ongoing investigation. And through the efforts of your office and others, a lot of information has come to light that may not have otherwise. It seems like there was almost an attempt, perhaps an all-out effort to sweep a lot of things under the rug or keep them from ever coming out. But you've helped bring a lot of that information forward. Where does all this stand now? And do you think we'll see more action taken based on what we're finding out?
Yeah. First of all, before I answer your question based on where we are now, I got information because I asked for it from local law enforcement in Pennsylvania. I got the information before the FBI and the Secret Service got it. I made it public within 2 or 3 days, some of it the next day, some of it 2 or 3 days later, but I've issued all, made public all the video and all of the texts that I have on the subject. And when we get more, we'll do it. And the reason that I did that is exactly what your question implied, that there might be some cover-up. Because we're still getting questions about the JFK assassination, 60 years ago. That shouldn't happen in this assassination attempt. We should make sure that there's as much transparency as possible, and I think that's everything. I don't know why anything in this regard should be kept from the public. Transparency brings accountability, and the public's information ought to be public. And when a candidate for president's being assassinated, I don't see how any of that stuff should be kept from the public. Now, where we are now is, of course, this is broadened. We've had a hearing in the Senate on this subject. The House has had a hearing. The House has gone one step further and set up a bipartisan group of people, both Republican and Democrat. Both people, both parties want to get to the bottom of this. And it's going to be, I suppose you'll have things dribble out. Mine won't dribble out. I'll make it public just as soon as I get it. But you'll have information dribbling out probably for the next 3 or 4 months. And if it takes that long to get a thorough investigation, we ought to. But I know one thing. If you want things to change in the bureaucracy, heads have to roll. And only one has rolled, and it's been because of resignation. But I'm sure there's other people that screwed up. And if they aren't fired, nothing's going to change, whether you got a Republican or Democrat president.
From what you have learned and what we are seeing and hearing, is the problem more in the leadership at Secret Service, or is it deeper than that?
I think I got to say that it's leadership. And how far down the bureaucratic ladder that goes, I don't know. We'll find out. But I think it's leadership. And this leadership in this case, what we've learned and what I've made public, there wasn't communication between local law enforcement and Secret Service before the event, and they figured that this building that the shooter was on was outside the perimeter, and one of the reasons it was outside the perimeter is because, as I asked in my question to the Secret Service director last week, the drone that the Secret Service should have been using wasn't working, and so they didn't have drone pictures of the event where the shooter's drone was working.
The errors, the mistakes, these things that we're finding out about are so egregious and so obvious when, in hindsight, looking back on them now. It makes you wonder, was this a one-time thing? And if so, was it intentional or unintentional? And is this something that has been going on longer than we know?
Well, I think based on what we've or based on what we know about the shooter, it seems to me that if this was a sophisticated effort by outside interests to kill him, they wouldn't have hired a 22-year-old guy to do it. But we don't know. And one of the things we don't know is because Apple has privacy rights for their phones, and the FBI can't get a lot of encrypted information he had, and evidently he talked to people overseas, and that's another thing we need to know and have the information on.
We're talking with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. All right, let's move now to the farm bill, Senator Grassley. Still no farm bill. There's talk maybe in a lame duck session, but that's pretty iffy, trying to get it done there, depending on how the election goes. What are you hearing? Any movement or any progress at all?
No, I can't tell you anything different than probably the last 10 times you've asked me the same question. We're not getting any conference. We're not getting any, what you'd say, compromise on the reference prices with the Democrat leadership of the House, the Senate, because the House does have a bill out that has 20% increase in reference prices. That's what we need in the United States Senate. We got at least one Democrat says that we ought to be spending more money on reference pricing, but we can't get the Senate chairman of the committee to go the 20% that the House has gone.
Hard to see. Unless you tell me differently, it's hard for me to see you're going to be able to move anything of major consequence the rest of this year.
The 2018 Farm Bill, now a six-year bill, sunsets September 30th, and we've got 3 weeks in September to extend it for 1 year, and I'm sure it'll be done.
So you're saying, and you've told us this before, you see another extension?
Yeah.
Do you see anything on your agenda that you, a major legislation that you'll be able to pass this year?
After the election, just the appropriation bills.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's kind of in question. There's some Republicans say if Republicans win the presidency in both houses of Congress, they'd say we ought to wait until a Republican Congress takes over. Then there's other Republicans that are arguing, why would we want a new president to have to work on this year's, that'll be 25 appropriation bills, when we've got so many other things that we got to change from the disastrous policies of the Biden administration. So that's a debate within the Republican Party. I guess I'm of the view that I'd like to get the appropriation bills done for 25 yet in 24, so a Trump presidency can get a whole new approach to their agenda for the next 4 years.
I realize I'm going to ask you to grade yourself in part here, but if you had to put a grade on this Congress and what you've been able to accomplish, what would that grade be?
Well, it'd be a D, probably. Some people would say F, but let me explain. There's enough work for an individual senator to do work 7 days a week if you want to read and go to all the meetings and everything you're invited to. But you can't solve this country's problems until you get 100 senators together. The way Schumer has run the United States Senate, the first vote is Monday, 5:30. Nothing else is done that day. Then work Tuesday, Wednesday, and by 2, Thursday afternoon, we're done. You can't solve this country's problems just having the Senate in session 2.5 days a week. When I went to the United States Senate decades ago, we'd start at 10 a.m. on Monday and go to 4 on Friday. 5 full work days. This Senate under Schumer is only in session 2.5 days a week. That's why I give it a D.
And real quick, what are your thoughts on the president's proposals concerning the Supreme Court?
violation of the Constitution. Those things can't happen without amending the Constitution. The Constitution says you should serve, it doesn't say life, but effectively you have life, serve as long as you want to serve. That's to give the judiciary independence, not to be make decisions based on political calculations of whether you're doing the right thing. Decide cases based on the law and the facts of the case. Leave your personal convictions out. Leave the political considerations out. And quite frankly, it's unconstitutional what they're trying to do, as far as I'm concerned. If they're trying to do it by passing legislation, and that's what it sounds like to me. So it would hurt the independence of the judiciary in the United States. It would compromise the checks and balances of government.
Senator Grassley, always good to talk with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Goodbye.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Stay tuned. We'll be back to wrap things up. Talk markets on AOA.
Hey, wouldn't it be great?
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
If you're looking for a new couch, you could cut down on expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Because you know you've had this couch for too long. Sure, you've had good times together, but a ripped up cushion is not a fond memory. It's a sign. Notice how other people have couches with two armrests? Now that's living, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new couch. Please, it's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
We explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Tyler Kelly, a propane commodity trading expert with CHS, provides an update on today's propane market outlook and some key tips for propane contracting strategies. Tyler, what's your contracting recommendations this season for farmers and ranchers who rely on propane to dry their crops and heat their ag buildings and homes?
Being proactive is critical, and what I mean by that is connect with your local propane retailer to come up with a plan that best fits your needs. Don't wait until the snow starts to fly or that first cold snap of the fall or winter to set in. And if you take the step to be prepared prior to when you really need the propane to dry your grain, heat your home, heat your farm operation, you can save yourself both time and headache down the road.
What is the market outlook for propane, and what factors do you expect will impact supplies in the near future?
Today, regional and nationwide propane supplies are sitting above historically average levels, and there's two main drivers behind those levels. The first being the mild winter that we experienced last year, and the second is that U.S. propane production is running at near record levels. But offsetting that high pace of domestic output has been the record rate of exports, pulling that supply out of the U.S. What really matters is, will there be a sufficient amount of supply where you need it and when you need it? And so setting a plan by contracting early and going into the season with your tanks full of propane is a great way to avoid the impacts from the unexpected.
How can propane users gauge how many gallons they'll need for the drying and heating seasons and determine appropriate storage needs?
Work closely with your propane supplier to analyze your average annual consumption and then adjust for any changes that you have to your situation. We'd also encourage that you evaluate all the supply and retail programs offered by your retailer and pick the one that best suits your situation.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in today for Jesse. He'll be back with you tomorrow, all tanned and rested from his vacation, we hope. And so let's talk markets. Been tough go. And here we are looking at lower market prices, higher input costs, tough time in agriculture. Let's talk about it with Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk. Garrett, thank you for joining us. You know, try to find something optimistic here, but when you're kind of looking ahead to a harvest that many feel is going to be a big one, that usually doesn't bode well for trying to raise prices. So give us a, is there a silver lining here somewhere, a ray of hope, a ray of sunshine?
Well, yeah, we're going to have ample supplies this year. You know, you look at the private estimates that are out ahead of next week's crop report. They've all seemed to be settling at this USDA print, if not bigger, for corn and soybeans. So we had StoneX out, we had Informa, the S&P Global out. They both have corn yields in that 182 to 183 type yield, and soybeans in the 52 to 53 type numbers. So it looks like the crop is there. This weather, I mean, it's a beautiful fall day here in northwest Illinois with 60, 70-degree temperatures. This cool temperature is definitely not going to hurt soybeans, I don't think, in the month of August if we can get some rain. So we're going to have some bigger crops. I think we're still in a downtrend. We threw in some macro, obviously, risk-off type trade yesterday. It is a positive sign today that even though the outside markets are rebounding, corn and wheat are rallying, because in theory, if this was an unwind, they would be under pressure like soybeans for today. But they are holding their own, and spreads are firming. So that's a positive sign, at least for today.
Yeah, a bit of a bounce-back day, which you would hope would be some bounce-back after what happened yesterday. But was yesterday, you think, kind of a one-off, or was that a sign of things to come?
That's a very good question. I guess I'm a little surprised that we are getting the bounce back today, but I think it's a testament of the fragility of the market. it is for the strong of economy that we have, and this may be a function of the way the markets just act today with the amount of algorithms and computers that do trade these markets. But I thought that we would see a follow-through for a couple of days here of that type of sell-off. But, the markets have rebounded. The Nikkei was up 10% here today, so that's a positive sign. I think that, I think that ultimately there's going to be, that might have been a canary in the coal mine, and that ultimately we're going to see a correction here at some point. It's just interesting to me that we had people talking about emergency rate cuts after a one-day sell-off. We're still back to where we were. It's only a couple months ago.
Yeah. You know, for years in talking about farm bills and safety nets, I've always made the point that really our safety net has been China. I mean, being able to sell to them has been the ag safety net in many ways.
Absolutely.
With the issues we have politically with China and their willingness to look elsewhere to buy, how do you see that playing out? And of course, a lot of probably determined by the election, but what do you see happening there?
You know, the interesting thing is it's almost like it's a Cold War. You know, during the last election cycle, it was flat out, and during the trade war, they were avoiding the U.S. As much as possible. And to this extent, you know, I didn't think that they were politically playing this game. I mean, it was more of a function of the world grain markets, where you had carries in the world soybean market, and it was more behooved to them to remain hand to mouth. Not only is the fact that their crush margins had not been great, their hog prices have been lower, and you know, their crush margins, their coverage had largely been hand to mouth. So, but that being said, here in the last week or so, I mean, there's reports that, you know, for every one cargo of U.S. soybeans that they buy, they're buying three out of Brazil, and they're buying new crop beans, which are, you know, February, March 2025 time slots. So when they're doing that, they're even though they have a lot of soybeans to buy for this September time frame, it does seem like they're kind of dragging their feet here a little bit and seeing how this election cycle plays out.
Well, when you look long term, South America keeps growing more, and China's more willing to buy more from them. Kind of makes you wonder, what's that dynamic going to be for us moving forward?
And that's a function of price. You know, in the United States, every farmer has, you know, most farmers have grain on-farm storage or grain storage. So, you know, they're naturally going to try to buy soybeans from the cheapest origin. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's a lot of relationship building that it may have been pushed because of the trade war and the politics out of the U.S., where, you know, Brazil is a green field country, if it will. You know, I mean, it's the United States 50 years ago. So if there's investments to be made where, you know, China can get their foot in the door for infrastructure and facilities that will help facilitate their grain origination, they're doing it with Brazil, whereas the U.S. is a mature market.
Real quick, what's your marketing advice for farmers right now?
Well, it's mostly for feed producers. I mean, we're watching. I don't expect a seasonal low here in grains for another till the end of this month, essentially. But I do think the lows will be set in August or early September, just because I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of farmers selling across the scale at harvest because of the price opportunities we've seen. So for the end user, their opportunity to get grain bought for harvest or this first quarter needs is going to happen in the next 30 days or so. So we're kind of sitting tight on that. But from the end user standpoint, from the livestock producer standpoint, we're trying to get coverage locked in here. And the other thing, as far as grain producers are concerned, is we're making sure we're getting carries locked in. So if we do have to store grain, we're at least getting our return to storage covered here. So that's what we're doing right now.
You see a lot going in the bin, right?
I do. At these prices, I don't expect farmers to be too anxious to sell at these levels of below-cost production.
All right, Garrett, good to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet. Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk. Well, with that, we wrap up my couple days back with you here on AOA. I've enjoyed it. Good to talk with you again. Jesse will be back tomorrow with the latest in markets and the news, and then plenty of news going on, that's for sure. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day, everyone. I'm Mike Adams. This is AOA.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery.
call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn, but not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six.
The American cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American